Take your Bibles tonight, if you will, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Do continue to remember little Noah and little James. Pray that Noah won't get what James has got, whatever it is, and pray that the Lord will help them. It'll be a blessing. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 tonight, on Wednesday night, we began with the thought, we've been talking about the doctrines of the Bible, and we were on the doctrine of Christ, and we've talked about his pre-incarnation, we talked about his birth when he became a man, and then we talked about his life, we talked about his death, and then on Wednesday night we began to talk a little bit about his resurrection. I'm glad he got up. And because he got up, you and I are going to get up one day after a while. Amen. And we looked on Wednesday night at the importance of the resurrection as it pertains to salvation. You can't just believe that Jesus is the one that came and was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life and died on the cross. If you stop there, if you don't believe he got up, the third day, the Bible said, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. So it's an absolute cardinal doctrine of the Word of God. So we looked at it as it pertains to salvation. And tonight, I want to get started looking at it as it pertains to the Scripture, the doctrine of the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection as it pertains to the Scripture. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1. The Bible said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. I want to say this tonight, not in a mean spirit, but you could ask the average Baptist, what is the gospel? And they couldn't answer you. Some would say, because they've heard the term, they'd say it's the good news. And I want to say this, it is good news. But I want to go a step above that. It's the best news you'll ever hear in your life. But to answer the question, you would have to say, what is the gospel? Listen to the answer in the Scripture, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. That's the gospel. Jesus died for our sin, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. I said on Wednesday night, I'll say it again tonight before we pray, there was a time when it seemed like there was more excitement over the cardinal doctrines of the Word of God. I think we hear and we hear and we hear, and it kind of just dumbs down a little bit in our heart, in our life. Thinking about the choir singing about Calvary this morning. Man, I'm telling you, just the old song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Man, that ought to stir something down in your soul. Amen. If you've experienced the grace of God. And I'm afraid that some of these things kind of have a way they just kind of calm down, so to speak, in our life. And there ought to be an excitement, amen, that the Son of God loved you and I enough to take our place on an old rugged cross and go to Calvary and pay the debt that we couldn't pay. Pray with me a moment. Father, I thank you tonight for the Word of God. I pray, dear Father, tonight that you would help us tonight in the service. Lord, I thank you for our people that have come out. I thank you for your presence. I thank you, God, for these young men that you've put your hand upon and called them to preach the Word of God. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll keep your hand on them. Help them, Lord, to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us tonight, our Father, in the meeting, Lord, just to dwell just for a little while on this wonderful, wonderful truth from God's Word, how that Jesus lives. He lives, our Lord, forevermore. And Lord, because you live, we will as well. in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, the key in these verses that I just read in your hearing as it pertains to the Scripture is the Bible said here, according to the Scripture. I had a, Brother Matthew mentioned a pastor that, one of his pastors, I think in Arizona, had passed away. I had a wonderful pastor, but I'm not trusting the resurrection according to my pastor. I'm not trusting the resurrection in the resurrection according to my dad that was a wonderful man of God and a wonderful deacon. He wasn't a preacher, but he was a wonderful, wonderful man of God, a dad and a deacon. I'm not trusting according to what, but the Bible said according to the Scripture. And I believe that's important when you're looking at the doctrine of the resurrection. He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Let me ask you a question. What else matters? If God said it's the truth, amen, that's all that matters, amen, tonight. The Bible said in Psalm chapter 16 and verse number 10, I want you to think about how this is going to play in with the book of Acts in just a moment. The Bible said, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I tell you what, God just showed me something reading that. I had something on my mind a little while back, and I said I wouldn't be dogmatic about it. Turn with me to Hebrews. If Brother Vince can run a rabbit, I will too. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews tonight. I'm going to show you something tonight. Boy, I tell you, that's good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You got Hebrews, then James, then Peter. I believe it's Hebrews chapter 12. I'll know when I get there. Hebrews chapter number 12, I believe it is. It is. Look here tonight at this. Think about that verse I just read. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. And the Bible said here, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Now listen, I'm not real smart, but even without the book of Acts, they ain't the one Holy One. Say amen. And listen, I know that that's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll show you in the book of Acts tonight that nails it down. But there's something that I've been saying, and I thought it was just a thought, but I believe God just nailed it down. Amen. Whenever I've got something on my heart or on my mind that I'm not exactly sure about, I will stop and say something like this. I won't be dogmatic about it, but here's what I think. I believe I'm ready to be dogmatic about this after what God just showed me reading that verse. Amen. Look what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let me just say this with the message this morning. That sin will just so easily put you in prison. Say amen. That sin will put you in behind bars, amen, where you can't be free to do what God wants you to do. And the Word of God said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. By the way, a lot of times when you say lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us, you might think you're talking about a sinner. This ain't addressed to sinners. This is addressed to God's people. He said of God's people, that listen, that can be a weight, the weights and the sin that can easily beset us. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of God the Father. Here's what I said. For years and years and years, when I said when I saw that for the joy that was set before him, all I could think about was you and I when we got saved. The church, all down through the church ages, every time somebody's born again, the Bible said there's rejoicing in heaven and the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. And I thought, boy, that's the joy. That's the joy. And one day, Brother Connor, God put this on my heart. Oh, no, there's more to it than that. The Word of God said right here, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sitting down at the right hand
of the throne of God. And this is what I said, the joy that was set before him. You know what he was going to get to do? He was going to get to go and sit down in the same place where he stood up from when he come down here. And I believe he was looking forward to that. Say amen. Getting back to the right hand of the Father where he had stood up and come down here to be born of a man, of a woman, to become a man so that he could give his life for you and give it for me. Now let's look at this again. Listen, this is more than just a thought. I believe it's the truth. The Bible said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Look at it. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I believe that's exactly what our Lord was looking forward to, was sitting right back down where he had got up. Amen. And come down here to pay the price for you and for me. Look at Acts chapter 13. Go start reading in verse number 29. The Bible said, when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. And the Bible said, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen, the word of God said, many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, watch this, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children. Do you understand this? Beloved, the resurrection is important. It's so important because when it happens, what God is doing is just fulfilling what he has already promised. You say, Pastor, do you really believe there's something, you know, we call it the rapture, the catching away, the we're caught up together. Do you really believe that? Oh, yeah, because it said so in the Word of God. Amen. Everything that God says in his Word either has already happened or mark this down. It's going to. Amen. And God said of the resurrection, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children. Watch this. In that he hath raised up Jesus again. And it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after that he served his own generation by the will of God, he fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. You say, Pastor, do you really believe Jesus has power over death, hell, and the grave? I know he does. I got a book that says he does. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. He wouldn't have the power to forgive sins if he didn't have the power. He said, listen, destroy this temple. He said, in 3 days I'll rise. I'll raise it up again. Amen. So it's important. The doctrine of the resurrection is important as it pertains to salvation, as it pertains to the Scripture, because everything that God said will come to pass. And then tonight, it's also important as it pertains to the Savior, to the Lord Jesus himself. Listen to what Jesus would say. He would say it over and over, maybe in a little bit different form. In Matthew 16:21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed. But that's not the end. And be raised again the third day. Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. This is coming out of our Lord's mouth himself. Matthew 17:22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. They shall kill him, And the third day he shall be raised again. And the word of God said they were exceeding sorry. You say, Pastor, what was going on with the disciples? Listen, beloved, they didn't understand. They thought Jesus was going to come and set up his kingdom. They thought he was going to take care of this religious bunch, amen, and wipe them out, so to speak, and set up his kingdom. They didn't understand that first he must suffer, then he must die, and then, thank God Almighty, he must be raised again the third day according to Scripture. They were sorrowful in their heart because they did not understand. Even on the road to Emmaus, beloved, he had to remove the blinders, so to speak, so they could understand the gospel. And beloved, that's important, because you and I were blind and we couldn't understand the gospel either, apart from the Holy Ghost of God that ripped the blinders off and made the truth of the gospel real in our hearts and in our lives. I'd still be out there, beloved, doing what I used to do had it not been for this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 8, 31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders. Did you know tonight, to be a Christian is to be Christ-like? I don't know what these health and wealth preachers do with this word suffer. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, our Lord suffered. Amen. The Bible said, and all them that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. I believe with all of my heart tonight, beloved. Listen, when you see Jesus suffering, you say, Pastor, boy, that'll get you down. No, not if you'll go on and see what happens after the suffering. Glory to God, one day our suffering's going to be over and we're going to be raised in his likeness because he got up. You and I are going to get up. Amen. Have a new body. The songwriter said, praise the Lord, we'll have a new life. Rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. I love this. Jesus answered and said, John 2, 19, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. And I'm telling you, beloved, they didn't understand. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. And they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Amen. I tell you tonight, it's important, the doctrine of the resurrection, as it pertains to our salvation, as it pertains to the scripture, as it pertains to the Savior. And then tonight, it's also important as it pertains to the saints. You see, tonight, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll pick that up again in verse number 5. The Bible said, after that Jesus rose again, that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. A lot of people think that we're crazy to believe the Bible. But the resurrection, beloved, is not just something that happened in history. It's a documented fact. Amen? Jesus got up. Now listen to me. There are people that have come along, some of these false religion. They'll say, well, he didn't really die. He just swooned on the cross. You know what I mean? Oh, beloved, listen. The Bible said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. The Word of God said, listen, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would give his life. For the Word of God said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, shed his blood. He gave his life. He died on an old rugged cross that you and I might live. And he rose again the third day. And beloved, we need to understand he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part, when Paul is writing this, remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, Paul said, he was seen of me also. Did you know that was one of the things, that qualifications to be an apostle? You had to have seen the risen Christ. So what did Jesus do? He just Jesus showed up on the Damascus Road and said, Paul, looky here. Right here he is. Amen. The one that he was persecuting. He says, hard for you to kick against the pricks. And the Word of God last of all, you've seen me also as one born out of due time. He said, I'm the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. One of the reasons I love Paul, he said, if you're going to talk about saints, he said, let me tell you where to put me, less than the least. He said, if you want to talk about sinners, he said, let me tell you where to put me, chief. I'm the chief. Glory to God. God can use a man like that. A man like that's not thinking more highly of himself than he ought to think. He's understanding what he says a little later in that chapter. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not bestowed upon me in vain. Amen. Nephew, your testimony encourages me. All you're saying is, son, that God saved me, and I want to do something for him. Hey, listen, his grace is not bestowed upon me in vain. I want to serve him, amen, while I can. Listen to what Acts said. Now, I want you to just think for a minute. Just stop and just have a little bit of common sense and just think. The book of Acts. Now, Jesus has died. He was buried. And he rose again the third day, according to the scripture, right? Listen to what the Bible said in the book of Acts. Do you know what those guys come out of there preaching? He lives. He got up. You thought you had him, but you ain't got him. Amen. Listen. They saw him die. They saw him after he rose again. They saw him ascend. You remember that? You men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen go up into the heavens shall so come again in like manner. You say, what's the importance of all that? These are men, beloved, that are willing to give their lives. Listen, not for a lie, but for the truth that he rose again the third day. The Bible said in Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And the Word of God said, great grace was upon them all. I want you to think about this. Think about Stephen. That godly deacon preached one message and they stoned him to death. Do you think he was lying when he said, I see Jesus? You think he was lying? Ain't no way. Listen. He said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Jesus hadn't even sat down long. And the first one, amen, getting ready to come home, he stood up. Said, welcome home, son. Amen. I tell you what's the truth. That'll bless you. Say amen. I tell you, Jesus, listen, was proud of Stephen. Amen. He was proud of Stephen. Stephen, he was doing all right in that message until he got down there where the rubber meets the road. He said, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart. You remember that? Say amen. I'm telling you, he laid it on them. Amen. He said, as your fathers did, they killed the prophets, so do ye. Amen. He laid the truth right in their lap. Why? Because he knew Jesus was alive. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 4. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. Listen, by the resurrection of the dead. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Listen to how this pertains to the saints. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know how you and I are supposed to be operating in the Christian life? In the power of his resurrection. You know, when we baptize somebody back here that's put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that reminds me, Miss Eve, I got a phone call I need to make after church. I forgot it this afternoon. You remind me. Amen. Now listen, when you baptize somebody, you're buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of, somebody help me, of his what? Resurrection. To do what? To walk in the newness of life. You know the only way anybody's ever going to walk in the newness of life? They're going to have a little help. They're going to have some power. And it's resurrection power that helps us, amen, to walk in the newness of life. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now I'll give you this tonight in closing. Not only the resurrection as it pertains to salvation, as it pertains to the Scripture, as it pertains to the Savior and the saints of God, but I want you to think about this tonight. The resurrection as it pertains to the sinner. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, let's think about it just a moment. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 6, I'm just going to stop and say this before I even get started. There's coming a day when people that leave this world without Jesus are going to wish he was still dead. They're going to wish he was. Somebody told them that it was a lie, and they believed the lie that somebody told them. Somebody, old devil slipped, God put them under Holy Ghost conviction in a good church service, and old devil slipped along and said, oh, you got plenty of time. You don't have to worry about that right now. Amen. Told the lie, and they believed the lie. They're going to wish he was dead, because I'm going to tell you something about every sinner. They're going to have to face him. They're going to have to face him. The Bible said every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That right there, beloved, is resurrection ground. Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Bible said this, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So if you're not part of that first resurrection, then you're going to be part of something called the second death. The word of God said, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Isaiah 45 said this, verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Romans 14:11 said, for as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord. You ought to underline that, as I live. He's alive. Say amen. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. That at the name of Jesus, Philippians 2:10, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. I promise you, beloved, that everyone that ever leaves this world without Jesus is going to wish that the resurrection hadn't took place, that they didn't have to stand before this holy God. Amen. Let me give you something real quick. I didn't plan on this. And let me see if I can find it. I believe it's in Matthew's Gospel. One of the saddest commentaries I've ever read in my life. Turn over to Matthew's Gospel. I think it's chapter 7. It is. Matthew chapter number 7, the word of God said in verse number 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You can look at another passage of Scripture and it'll tell you what that will is. This is the will of him that sent me, that you believe on him whom he has sent. You see, we believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. Amen. I'm not talking about the Christian life now. I'm talking about getting in. I'm talking about being born again. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Watch what the Bible said here. Many will say to me in that day, to me. They ain't talking to somebody dead. They talking about somebody alive. Many are going to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many marvelous works, or wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I think the easiest way to illustrate this tonight is like this. Matthew talked about his dad. My dad wasn't always a churchgoer. He wasn't always saved. He wasn't always in there for the Lord. In my younger days, he definitely wasn't. But there come a day when God turned that his life around. Amen. But even as I mentioned this morning about walking in obedience to my father, and I'm going to be honest, you don't have to like it, but there was a certain amount of fear.
Sure.
Amen. The Bible did say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes,
amen. But I'm going to tell you this. Obeying my dad, I did not do that so that he would become my father. I did that because he was my father. Let me go back and quote the scripture again. By grace, so you say, well, Pastor, you get up there and you tell us we ought to pray, and you preach that we ought to read our Bibles. You preach that we ought to be a witness. You preach that we ought to be faithful to the house of God. You're confusing me. I'm trying to clear it up right now. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. Works ain't got a thing in the world to do with salvation, lest any man should boast. But now when you get saved, a lot of people don't know what the next verse says. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, when you get born again, unto good works, which God already decided, he's already ordained that we should walk in them. Here it is. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old thing. Now see, trying to do the right thing will never make you a new creature. By grace alone, through faith alone. Amen. But if you're a new creature, you ought to do the right thing. Amen. You understand that? I hope you do. Amen. Because I'm afraid, according to these verses of Scripture, men and women, boys and girls are going to leave this world from a church pew. Thinking, God, you got to let me in because I went to church. Or you got to let me in because I got dipped in a water hole. Or you got to let me in because I give $100 a month in the offering. I'm telling you, beloved, don't be deceived. The only way anybody's going to get in is to be born again. You got to come a poor, wretched, lost sinner and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. That's the only way. Brother John, you're sitting back there and you was raised right. I know your mom and daddy. They raised you right. Son, your raising will never get you to heaven. There had to come a time when John said yes to Jesus. Amen. Listen, I can't go to heaven. Listen, Brother Mike, you're sitting back there and had a godly daddy for a preacher, a praying man, and preached the gospel, but you ain't going to get into heaven because daddy was something. Had to be a time when Mike said, oh God, I'm a wretched sinner, just like you said I am. Say, Pastor, why did you bring that up? Listen, these are not people that are sitting on a bar stool. These are not people in this verse of Scripture that's rolling up their sleeves and shooting something in their arm. These are people that think they're doing the right thing and think that doing the right thing will get them into heaven. Beloved, I believe in doing the right thing, but not so that God will be my Father. I believe in doing the right thing because he is. I've been born into his family. And if you get that mixed up, it's mixed up. Amen. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants people to think. And you know, Brother Keith mentioned something when he was here last Sunday. He said, you know, sometimes people, they sit there, maybe somebody's happy, somebody gets to rejoicing, And somebody's saying, well, I don't see that. I don't feel that. I don't feel nothing. Let me give you this little story. I ain't told it in a while, I don't think. We'll go. I was in Wise. There's a man in Wise in the church that I had there. I went into his home. Three. Brother Jim's back here. He's been to Florida fishing. Brother Jim, he had three bass that weighed 10 pound plus mounted. 1, 2, 3 over his mantle. And he'd tell me about fishing. He'd tell me, he used shiners, Brother Jim. He said 6, 7, 8 inches long. And he said, when you throw it out there and said, when that bass hits it, said, don't do nothing. He said, just let him keep eating. He said, let him get where he can get it way down in there where he ain't going to get off the hook. He said, when you set the hook, you got him. And he told me about catching those fish, about the different circumstances, and I'm yawning. You know why? I ain't never caught a 10-pound bass. I'll tell you another reason why. I wasn't there. Didn't do a thing for me. I'm trying to just pay attention, amen, you understand? And then I got to talking to him about turkey hunting. He had never turkey hunted in his life. I mean, that's the only time in my life I think it's all right for a grown man to sit at the base of a tree and try to sound like a girl. Amen. And I was telling him about calling them turkeys in. I mean, you get them in there close, boom! And he's yawning. You want to know why? He wasn't there. And this is what I said. I said the reason a lot of people, they never tell anybody what Jesus has done for them. They never get excited about what Jesus, because they ain't never been there. I used that silly, I call it a stupid little illustration. And 2 weeks went by. I went home and was just ashamed of myself for using something like that. 2 weeks went by. Monday evening, the phone rang. My wife said, Pastor's not here. You want me to have him call you back? This fellow on the other end said, no, it's okay. I'll talk to him later. He was our treasurer. We come in on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, we had a death in the church. All we were going to do was pray, read scripture, and go to the funeral home. That's all we're going to do. Well, we're going to take up an offering. You can't be a good Baptist without taking up an offering. And in that church, this man's name, Brother Ron, he wouldn't care if he was sitting here if I told it. It was Brother Ron. It was always our treasurer and one other man that took up the offering. He come down the aisle like this. Wait a minute, preacher. And I met him in front of the communion table and I said, Brother Ron, what is it? He said, I'm not saved. I got to get saved. Amen. I say it jokingly, but Brother Gary, every church ought to have a saved treasurer. Amen. Amen. And you know what he told me? He said it was that silly illustration. He said, I never talk about Jesus. He said, I don't have what y'all have. He said, because I ain't never been there. I don't know what it is to have my sins forgiven and have all that joy dumped in my heart and all that love for God's people. He was trying. Listen, he wasn't mocking. He was trying his best to do the right thing. I'm careful to say that because I did the same thing for 6.5 years. Faithful church member. Try. Let me tell you something. Beloved, salvation is not by trying. It's by trusting. I don't know why I'm preaching like this tonight, but here it is. Amen. Let me tell you something else. The successful Christian life is not by trying. Haven't begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now, I think that's a mistake. You come and you trust Jesus by faith. Now you better get up and do the right thing. No, you better walk by faith and not by sight. That's where the victory is. Amen. Resurrection power. Amen. Listen, you and I, as the saints of God, we know He lives and we shall see Him as He is. The Bible said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Then the Bible said this, I like it. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our... Honey, I tell you something right now, He ain't dead. He going to step out on a cloud one day. There's going to be a trumpet sound. Come up hither. Out of here. There we go. Amen. To be with Jesus. The Bible said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That word lively there, it would not be doing the Scripture a disservice to say living. It's a living hope. It's not a dead hope. It's a living hope. Amen. Amen. How many are glad you come tonight? Honey, let me tell you something right now. Don't you be caught just going through the motions when Jesus comes. You better know that you know that you know that you've put your confidence and your faith in Him. Amen. It wouldn't even matter if you're sitting in church when Jesus comes. If you ain't been born again, you ain't going. And I tell you, that would be an indictment on this pastor, beloved, to know somebody that I love dearly would be left behind. Amen. I don't want that. I want to go on the big load. And I want all my people to go with me. Honest to God, if I never hear Him say, well done. If I could stand at the side and hear every one of you hear Him say that, that'd be worth it all to me. Amen. I'm glad you come tonight.